me ask you a question, folks. Is your Christian walk with the Lord, is it everything you want it to be right now? I don't see any hands raised. That's a good thing. Because I'm not there either. And I want to tell you, I've been reminded of some interesting verses in Scripture that, and I want to kind of set this up by telling you that about 3 years ago, I think it was, I had, you know, when you learn something in Scripture that you didn't know before, it's like you discovered something, you know, even though it was there the whole time, I hadn't ever discovered it, and didn't understand a lot about the promises of God, and I was kind of enlightened as to this verses of Scripture, some of the verses of Scripture, the key verse I'm going to try to teach you and speak with you tonight about, because I didn't understand, and it caused me to look closely and say, you know, my walk with God always needs to be better. It always needs to be deeper than what it is. And I remember, because I told Brother Frank, and I was just kind of energized by this Scripture, and I said, you know, I want to meet. Can I meet with all the adult Sunday school classes? And we met. I don't know if you guys remember that, but I talked to you about this kind of subject of what this is about tonight. And I don't know, many of you probably are new to the church, don't understand that little set of steps that's on the bulletin every Sunday. If you look, it says grace and it says movement to a higher level. That's where that came from. It came from this idea. And I want to take a look, and I'm going to be quick, I promise. But, you know, God's promises are there for us, and he wants to do something with all the promises. He wants to do a work in every person's heart. I firmly believe that. And it's not always what we want, but it's what he wants for us. More than 3,000 years ago, God made some promises to the Israelites while they were in Egypt. Those promises are the core promises, and they come out in every area of Scripture. You look after the promise was made, all the way through the Gospels, you see those four core promises. You see all the way through the book of Acts, all the way through the letters of the apostle, and they're just, it's just a core for us to look and realize what God, you know. And the great revelation to me was this, I always thought that communion, even that the celebration of the Last Supper and the celebration of the Passover feast, you've heard me talk about some of the feasts and how the timing of them and how the Jewish people looked at it. But here's how I came across this. It was around the time right before Easter, and I'd seen the Ten Commandments, and then there was the Jesus of Nazareth movie, and I love those. You know, I just kind of intrigued by those kind of things, and I was watching, and I saw the celebration of the Passover feast over and over again. And it was a few days later, I saw this Jewish Christian. This guy was a preacher. He was on television, and he spoke about what the Jewish Passover feast actually is. You know, you and I have come to know when we take communion, you know, we it's a cup of wine and it's some bread, and that's kind of the ceremony to us. But to the Jewish people, it's a different thing, because these four core promises that I'm going to talk to you tonight about, they're at the center of the Jewish celebration of the Passover feast. They don't have just one cup, they have four. And all the four are based on this. Still today, the Jewish people, like I say, 3,000 years ago, God gave them the promise. To this day, the Jewish people, when they celebrate Passover, this is what they're celebrating. And they drink four cups instead of just one with us. And some of you are looking at me like, four cups of wine, a whole lot better than one, Mike. You got it, buddy. I'm sorry about that. But those promises continue to stand for God's people. And I want to do some general things about promises. Look at 2 Peter. If you don't have a sermon outline, if you raise your hand, Fred will probably be good enough to get up and get you one. Everybody got one, so this will be. We'll go through this pretty quickly. He says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, said, God has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Participate in the divine nature. In other words, God has an offer on the table through his promises to every one of us. And the offer's still there. It still stands. It's never going away. It's there. Now, I put in there, let's look at what a promise is. And by definition, a promise is an offer with a guaranteed result. Now, let me just say, when we talk about the word promise, you know, a lot of people, we've grown up in their life and some of us, you know, you've been let down by folks that promise you things and they don't follow through with it. You probably can sit and think right now about somebody that promised you something in your past and that they didn't go through with what they promised. And we get that picture sometimes because of what we've been through here. But we need to understand God's promises are always good. He keeps all the promises. Look at Joshua 21:45 there. It says, not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Not one. Every one was fulfilled. Every promise of God to his people is fulfilled. They've all been fulfilled. And that's kind of a good track record. That's something that we can rely on. And here's what I want you to see. Of the core promises that we're going to talk about tonight, there's probably some of them that you're not realizing. You didn't realize that was the promise. You may not be there. I don't know where you're going to be in all this. That's for you to look at this and kind of decide and say, you know, well, okay, I think I'm probably here. But, you know, in all honesty, none of us are probably where we think we are in these promises. And the great thing about God never goes back. He never goes back on a promise. And I believe this. I don't believe God ever intended for us to live a life, that a natural life, according to the things that we experience in this world. I think he wanted us to live a supernatural life even while we're still here. Because doing that, we will be able to participate in the divine nature of God. If we understand the promises and what he wants us to do. Now, the first thing, I got three quick points there for you. And I put, first of all, we need to know his promises. We need to know what they are. They are an unbreakable lifeline into the right of presence of God. We'll be in the presence of God if we know what the promises are and understand what he wants for us. And I tell you what I learned, I got from this revelation of what this these cups and what they were celebrating at the feast. I got an unbelievable feeling of how much God loves us. Even way long ago, even before Jesus came, these promises were there. They didn't just come when he got here, but the promises were already made, like I say, 3,000 years ago. And here's the key thing. There is no shortcut. If we want to know the promises, there's only one way. And it's to read this. It's to read the scripture. To be able to read your Bible. Let me encourage you strongly. If you're not in some kind of, you know, I don't know about some of these Bible reading plans. You don't need to read the Bible so you'll be through with it in a year. You know, that's good. That's okay. If that's what you're doing, that's fine. But have a purpose in what you're reading. You want to read scripture so scripture gets in your heart and changes you. That's why we need scripture. And that's kind of the way it is about the promises. If you want to know what they are, read the scripture because it's in there. And we're going to talk about four core ones in just a little bit. But you know, I thought about this. There is a scripture for most every situation that you face. And I jotted some of them down the other night. If you're facing fear, fear is in your life. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? There's a promise. If Satan's bothering you, if he's interrupting your life and causing you problems, 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he who is in me than who is he that is in the world. Romans 8:37 says, no, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Luke 10:19 said, I have been given authority to you to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Now, I should be hearing amen a whole lot more than I'm hearing it, but it must be the barbecue. For financial struggles, Philippians 4:19 said, God will supply all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. If you're in sickness, if your body's letting you down, Psalm 103 said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. I am going to praise his holy name, who forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. 1 Peter 2:24 says, Jesus took the stripes on his back, and by his stripes I am healed. If your son or daughter or loved one is getting driver's license, going to start driving, you might want to remember this one. Psalm 124, Lord, you bless our coming and your going. Now, that wasn't supposed to be funny. That's real, but you know. And here's a dentist verse for you. Open wide thy mouth and I will fill it. I didn't make that. That's Psalm 81:10. You know, it's not applying to a dentist, but you know, there's also crown thee with many crowns, you know. But those are just a few of the promises from different things, different situations that you might be facing in life. And you can tell I get fired up reading them. I can assure you that I do, because it tells us how great our God is. Now, 1 Chronicles 17:19 says this, O Lord, for the sake of your servant and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made known all these great promises. Folks, God's not hiding any of them from you. He wants you to know what they are. His promises are eternal. They are conditional, because there is a premise behind it. It's like walking in a right relationship with him. You want to realize his promises for you, then he wants you to walk in a right relationship with him. It's kind of like you and your children. You know, I got more than my children do, barely. But if they're going to get any of it, they better stay in good relationship with me. You know what I'm talking about? That's kind of the way God's the same way. He wants you to have a relationship with him. He wants you to love him unconditionally. But you know, God requires faith. And you know, it's sometimes we kind of get like this. Lord, I just want the blessing. You know what I'm saying? I'll do without learning the lesson this time. Just pour the blessing out. That's what I'm looking for. You ever get that way sometimes? Lord, I don't need to learn anything going through this. And the Lord says, oh yes, you do. You know, it's called faith. And you know, the Bible says it's impossible to please God without it. God does it his way and in his time. That's different. You know what that means to us? He's slow. No, he's patient. He's patient with how he does things for you. It requires faith. We need to know his promises. Secondly, we need to understand his promises, to understand what they are. Numbers 23:19 is not in your notes, says, God is not a man that he does not lie. He's not human. He doesn't change his mind. He wants us to understand what the promises are. And then the scripture there, it says, 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. All the promises are yes in Christ. He's going to take care of them all. You know, you'll see what I'm talking about looking at that tonight. But we don't no longer just need to understand his promise. We need to pursue his promises. I put that next. We need to pursue his promises. They don't just come to you. You have to kind of pursue them. Psalm 119:140 is not in your notes. It says, your promises have been thoroughly tested and your servant loves them. Your servant loves them. They've been tested. You've promised and you were right. And I love what the psalmist David wrote in Psalm 119:148 that I put there for you. It says, my eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises. Oh, folks, if we could just get there. You know, we do our meditation. We can say, God, you know, I'm just really wanting to know all the promises you got for me. Because tomorrow's another day, folks. And you know, there's going to be things in this world that are going to try their best to destroy our relationship with Christ. And so we have to remember that. We have to seek out these promises. Now, I want us to, the word promise, if you take the pro and the miss, I guess, and divide them up, the pro means to send forth, and the miss means to guarantee the future. So what God tells you in his word and his promises for the future is going to come true. It's not an if, maybe, or any of that. It's a promise from God, and that's exactly what it is. And that's they all have come true. Now look at the core promises. I want you to just pick a few things here. This is the crux of what I want to get over to you. I want you to pick a few things out of Exodus chapter 6 and verses 6 through 7. I want you to see this. This is what God says to his people. These people are in captivity in Egypt. Remember that as we go through it. He said, therefore say to the Israelites, I love this, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will bring you out. I will free you from being slaves to them. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Glory to his name. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. Now you see what I got left. There's four things there. I want to show you what he's saying in these verses here. First thing he says is, I'm going to bring you out. God promises us salvation. That's in your notes. I'm going to bring you out. You notice God didn't want to try to do anything with them where they were. He said, I'm going to bring you out from that. I'm going to take you out from it. And he said, and then I'm going to do a work in you. I'm going to save you. And you know, he wants to do the same thing with us now. He wants to take us out from wherever we are that's keeping us away from him. And he said, I want to bring you out from that and bring you into the knowledge, a saving knowledge of my son, Jesus Christ. You know, many people get this confused because they equate their salvation with their church relationship. Church relationship is a wonderful thing. It's a good thing. But a lot of people, you ask them, if you were to ask them the question, you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you know the next thing I'm going to say, I go to the Third Street Baptist Church over there somewhere, and I've been going there for 10 years. Like it's a qualification statement. You know what I'm saying? That has nothing to do with salvation. That's not it. You know, and I'll go so far as to say this, and there's so many people who think they are saved and think they have been through the salvation process, but the devil's blinded their eyes. They don't know. And you can see it. How do you know, Mike? Well, you know, you can tell a lot by how a person lives their life. You can tell a lot by how they support the church and the things they do. But it's sad that it's that way. Now, Titus 3:3-8, there's five verses I want to see you to see there. It said, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness, when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. We're not talking about just salvation for us right now. We're talking about another life to come. Not only that, folks, another life with him. How much better could it get? What a promise that he made here. He said, this is a trustworthy saying. I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable to everyone. He wants to bring us out so he can save us. That's a great promise that he's made. And you know what? The sad part about it, a lot of Christians, even that are saved, they get to that point and they stop. That's the only promise they ever realized. That's sad. That's really, really sad when you think about it. Because you're losing out on so much more. Because there is much more for you. That's why those steps are on. You know, that's why I want to put the steps on the bulletin. Keep looking. You know, keep looking for the next one. You know, I was looking when I found this. You know, keep looking, keep trying to go higher, trying to find a higher purpose for what you're doing. It's sad that people get to that point and just stop and they say, well, you know, I've been saved. Well, what are you doing now? What's happened since then? Well, I've been saved. You know, are you working? Are you working for Christ? Are you sharing to other people what's happened to you? I've been saved. You know, that's about as far as they go. Second one I put down there, he says, I will free you. I will free you. God promises us deliverance. We're not talking about the no, we far from that. Get your mind off that little boy playing the banjo. He was good, but that's not what this is. And it's not for people that are possessed by demons. Deliverance is for people who still have the sin nature controlling them. You know, Mike, we got saved. You see what I'm talking about? There's more to it, folks. Because that sin nature can still grab a hold of you. And if you're not careful, you won't understand that God, not only saves you, but he brings you out. You know, when he got, you say, well, Mike, what are you talking about? He saved them. He brought them out. You remember what happened to him when Moses went on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments? They were left to their own devices. Good gracious. All manner of sin, it says. The sin controlled them. They didn't control it. And that's why I've heard preachers say this. You know, God has a plan to get it, had a plan to get the people out of Egypt, but he needed to get the Egypt out of them. That's kind of what happens when we're saved. You know, we get saved and then God wants to free us up from being controlled by a sinful life. You can be free. The whole book of Galatians is written in reference to that. Now look at what Romans 7:25 and verse 8, and chapter 8, verse 2 says. It says, so then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. Therefore there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Don't go around beating yourself up, folks, because you're a sinner. You know? Don't beat yourself up everywhere. Ask forgiveness and move on. Don't let the devil steal your joy there. He said, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit that now comes to reside in you when you are saved. That Holy Spirit that resides in you, it sets you free from worrying about your sin. Just ask God to forgive you of your sins. He will, and then walk in the Spirit. That's what he wants you to do. I truly believe that's what he wants you to do. Third one, and we're moving along. I will redeem you. I will redeem you. God promises restoration. Restoration. Now, what the word redeem means is to put something back to its original intent or its original purpose, its original design. Look at Ephesians there, 1:11-12, chapter 1:11-12 from the Message Bible. And if this wording in this Message Bible doesn't stir you up, you may not have a pulse. You need to check. It says it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living. What are we living for? It's in Christ we find out who we are and what we're living for. That's how we find out what our purpose is, folks. If it's my job, and that's all we're living for, you know, that's why I want to go a little higher. I want to take another step somewhere, because that's not it, folks. He wants us to go further. And he says this, I love this. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us. I hate to tell you this, but I'm sure you've heard this before. You didn't find Jesus. He found you. He was looking. Don't think he wasn't. You just didn't come one day and say, oh, I'm going to find Jesus today. No, he was looking. He drew you to him. I look back in my own life, and I look back how the process it took for me to get to that point where I recognize and turn my life over to Jesus Christ. And I look back now and I see this little event, this little thing, this little thing, this little thing, all in the timeline of him drawing me. You know, I wasn't easy. So I had to look through all of that. So he says, He had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and in everyone. Not only did he have his eye on us to save us, folks, but we get the privilege of working for him. We get the privilege of representing him here in this world. There is no higher honor, folks. I don't care what you're doing for him. I'm not saying you got to preach. I'm not saying you got to do this, that. Whatever you're doing, do it for him. Represent him in this world. That's the greatest honor you could ever have, is doing this. You know, whether we realize it or not, you're a part of his plan. I hope you realize God can reach somebody through you that he could never reach through me. You know, you're in the plan. He's always had his eye on you. He created you uniquely different than anybody else. He created you for a purpose. And I hope, you know, I really hope our church is helping you find that for you. You know, sometimes people really struggle. You know, I hear a lot of people tell me, I don't know really what Christ wants. I don't know what God wants me to do. I really don't know what God wants me to do. And my thing to them, I can't tell you what God wants you to do. Yeah, I got to tell you, since I've been a Christian, I've served in so many different capacities trying to find out what, you know, God, what, you know. I did everything under the sun. You know, I've been a youth director. I started doing that. I was the lay speaker at the church came from. I was youth director there, and we had a lot of ministry success, and God just blessed us innumerable. We had so many young people, and it was just such a blessing. When I came here, one of the first things Brother Frank asked me to do, I want you to work with the youth. I want you to work with the young people. We had some ministry success here doing that. I was a deacon for a while. You know, realized I was the sorriest deacon on the face of the earth, and that was not my gift. And you guys that are deacons, I respect you, and I really do, because I couldn't do it. It just wasn't tailored for me. And that's kind of what you have to do. I say all that to say this to you. You kind of have to do that. You know, don't sit back and say, well, I'm going to hope for 20 years and figure out, try to God to show me what his plan is for me. Stick your feet into the stream a little bit, folks. Get your feet wet, you know. Don't come to me and tell me nobody in the church really likes me. I don't know anybody. I hadn't got to know them very well. You know, get in that receiving line that serve on Wednesday night. You'll get to know them. You know, you'll get to know them faster than you ever thought you would. Okay. I could go on and on, but I'm not. Fourth core promise. We've already done three that right out of Exodus chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. The fourth key promise is probably the greatest one. It's the ultimate cup to drink from. I want you to see this. Look, you know what he says? He said, I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Did you ever realize, do you ever understand that God didn't have to do that? He wasn't obligated in any way, shape, form, or fashion to love you. He is love. He said, I'm going to take you. Now, up to this point, here's what we're talking about. He said, I will take you as my own people. God promises us fulfillment. Now, I want you to see that this ultimate cup that I'm talking about, he works on us individually up to a point. But now we're not just a person. We're a people. Do you see that? God never meant to fulfill any purpose in just one individual themselves. He wants us together as a group. You notice that? He said, well, I do this and I do that for the Lord. Hey, get involved in a local church. Get involved doing something in the local church, because that's how he organized it. That's what he really wants. He wants to put us in a group, because it's there, folks, that the real joy can be realized. I don't know about you, but some Sunday mornings and some Wednesday nights, I look around tonight, this is a great crowd. It really is. And I appreciate from the bottom of my heart anybody that ever comes sitting here to me. But I definitely appreciate people. But some Sunday mornings, I'll be sitting over there and I'll look at how big a crowd is in this room. Man, I get hair standing up on the back of my neck, chill bumps and all that good stuff. I just like, you know, God, you know, you're real and you're doing a work. And man, I don't know about you. I am so thankful to be a little bitty part of it, you know, just to be. But he takes us as a people. And that's where we realize the joy. You know, he saves us. He frees us from our, he frees us from the control of sin in our life. He redeems us. He puts us back into the place that we were supposed to be all along. And that's his people. And then he said, you're my people. I'm your God and you're my people. And that, and all of those four promises, I want you to see this. All of those four promises relate to just about everything we do in the Christian walk. You think about it. I never understood that. You know, I never understood that on the night of the Last Supper, when they were celebrating the Passover, this is what Jesus was doing. Jesus was making sure they understood and they celebrated God's promises to them. Little did they know that the greatest promise of all was sitting in the room with them. You know, on his hands and knees and washing their feet. Oh my goodness, you know. They didn't understand the greatest promise. And it's this thing we find in John 10:10. I want you to see this. It says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Look what he says. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Some translations say, have it in abundance, abundant living. Folks, there is a big, big difference in just living an existence and abundantly living for God. There is a big difference. It changes everything. It changes everything about you. When we realize that, I don't think God's ever satisfied until we realize what those two words mean. Abundant living. Living abundantly for him. Let me encourage you to do this just from what we've said, just these few things that we've mentioned tonight. There are plenty more promises, folks. They're there. Look in scripture and find them. They're there. But I want to encourage you, take a look at where you are. You know, I'm doing it. Take a look at where you are and what you're doing. Are you moving up to a higher level? Are you stuck on one level? Are you stuck right here and I just can't seem to get any further? You know, here's something I taught my children years ago. If you're doing something that's not working, change it. You know? I tell you, know, if you stick your hand out here and I hit it with a hammer, how many more times are you going to stick it out there? You know? Change. You know, seek. He said, seek and you'll find. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. Find the abundant life that God has meant for you all along and that he has upheld in his promises all along to you. Let me tell you this. If we all do that, as a people of God, we're going to stand back and see the great power that he has, the great love he has for us. We'll watch God do something that's just amazing to us all. You know, we'll be a part of that because we understood what abundant living was. Let's pray. Father, we praise you tonight for this opportunity to share. Lord, I thank you. I want to just stop, Lord, and truly thank you for every person that's in this room. Lord, I pray your blessings upon them. There are those here tonight, Lord, that are suffering physically. And Lord, I want you to heal. I'm asking you to heal them. There are those, Lord, that are suffering spiritually. Lord, I pray, restore your spirit in them. Lord, there are those here tonight that may not even know you as Lord and Savior. But Lord, I pray, convict their hearts, Lord, that they might know. You know, when you say, I am your God and you're my people, I pray, Lord, that they would have the understanding of what that really, really means. Father, convict the hearts of everybody that's here, including mine, Lord. Never let us be satisfied with where we are in Christ. Help us to move forward. Move a little higher. Get a little higher to higher ground. So that one day, Lord, we'll be with you and all things will be revealed to us. And Lord, we'll look back and we can all say that we strive for abundant living. I thank you, Lord, for all the blessings you've given us now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you.